Let's turn to Matthew 1, verse 23. I want to talk about Emmanuel, God with us today. You know, it is Christmas. God in the flesh came to earth. Incredible. He came to show the way. And, you know, he had been speaking into the earth for years, hundreds of years, thousands of years. Been speaking through prophets. You know, God created man and woman in the Garden of Eden. You know, and different things happen and the flood and all that. And God spoke through prophets and through people. But he came. Man needed a Savior. And like we were saying a few weeks ago, you know, he inspired men to speak Jesus into existence. Jesus made the way for men to speak, for them to cut, so that Jesus could come forth in the flesh. And so, you know, on that night in Bethlehem, he was born and he came forth and he came to earth as a man to show the way and to redeem his creation. He created people. They veered off from him. They needed a Savior. But God himself came and spoke to us. And it's recorded for us in the Bible so we can know today. All this is recorded for our benefit so that we can know the truth. So we can know the mind of God is. And people say, well, how can you know? How can you know all these things? Well, that's why Jesus came. And there are witnesses to the fact that he was born, that he died, and that he rose from the dead. You know, it says in several places, there was many witnesses to the fact, and it's written down here, this has been recorded, copied over and over. And this is where we based all our beliefs off of. That's why this is under attack. People say, it's just a bunch of stories. It's not a bunch of stories. It's the divinely inspired Word of God. All throughout the years, people have written, recorded these things, and it's up to men to believe, though. People can reject it, say, I don't believe it. But you know what? Everybody's taking the word of somebody else. It's just whose word you're believing. People that think they're real solid on certain things, well, I believe this, that's not true. How do you know that? Were you there? No, they weren't there. They've read something that they're believing. And it all comes down to who you're going to believe. Because nobody was there 5,000 years ago, 6,000. Well, God didn't create the world. How do you know? You there? Does anybody know? No. Nobody's been there. So they read something. Nobody has I'm not going to go off on too far here, but nobody has all the knowledge it takes to know, understand everything. Nobody's been there, you know, in the past. Somebody say, well, I want to read this. That's not valid. That's not scientifically valid. Really? You know that for a fact, right? How do you know that? Well, I read it. Okay. You read it. And you probably don't have the ability. People all the time attack God's word. They don't have the necessary understanding to go down that path. They really don't have all it takes to even understand what they've read, but they just say, well, I believe that's true. But you know what? This claims to be the word of God from the beginning. It claims to be that God himself gave these words to people thousands of years ago, throughout history, that God himself laid things down and said, this is what happened. Because God was there. God was there. God knows. All throughout throughout history, he knows exactly what happened. And then it's up to us to decide whether we want to believe it or not. Do we believe it? Over in John, I'm not going to, just a second. You don't have to turn there. This is exactly what John says. Over in John 20, verses 30 and 31, he says, and truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. That's why John wrote the book, so that we can read it. So he said, this happened. All these things Jesus did. He wrote it as a testament. You know, we read the scriptures about how he was born. Why do we have that? Because somebody took the time to write it down. That God came to earth and was with us. That's a It's witnessed by these people. And then we have the determination in our hearts whether we're going to believe that. Do I believe this witness or do I believe these other witnesses? That's what it comes down to. But if it's not in here, I can't, you know, this is what I base all my beliefs on, because this is the divinely inspired Word of God. Has been recorded over and over the same way. It's the most the texts and everything that went into making this are more verifiable than anything. They're so consistent. You know, if we want to throw this out, we better throw any piece of historical documentation you know of out, because there's nothing that has as many copies as this, that goes back as far as this. If you want to throw this out, people might as well throw out the Iliad and all these other things. But nobody questions any of that. And there are many more copies of this. Many, many more, and more consistent. Nobody questions any of that stuff. But I'm telling you, you want to throw this out, you might as well throw out all the historical things they know. Because we have a lot of historical evidence to support the Bible. Anyway, Matthew 1:23. Thank you, God. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. God with us. That he came. That God himself came to earth as a child and walked this earth. God with us. Emmanuel. That Jesus came to redeem a fallen race, you know, that went away from what he had intended. But that God came to show us the way, to redeem us, to bring us back into relationship, and ultimately to take our punishment for sin. To take our punishment, what we deserved in God's righteousness. He came as a baby and said, I'll do it. I'll take it. Let's turn over to John 3:16. God is so good. Oh, if the world knew how good God was, I don't think anybody... You can't really see anybody rightfully rejecting Jesus when they know what he's really done and who he is. But people, there is an enemy who tries to deceive men, tries to get them to believe on things that aren't true. And that's the real battle on the earth today, is for men's hearts. It's not really for their wallets, it's for their hearts. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We see that so many times we become numb to it. You see it at football games, baseball games, whatever. Somebody, it's almost like, yeah, whatever. But read that scripture. Look at it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's it. Emmanuel. God came because of this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that he gave God, that he gave Jesus to become a man and walk with us, and that then whoever believes on him, whoever believes on him, should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the whole reason Jesus came. That's the whole reason he was born. And you know, people, that we've heard this too. It's not anything new, but it's true. God could have announced it with, he could have made the whole world know that the King of the universe had just arrived. He could have done it in complete splendor, but he didn't. He didn't do it that way. He came in a manger. He announced it to shepherds. The angels came and announced it to shepherds that the King of the universe had just shown up on earth. And most people, if we were in charge of that ceremony, we probably would have done it different. Think about it. When the President of the United States comes into town or something, man, the security, the lines, everything, the President's coming. Yet the God of all creation came to earth And the angel showed up and announced it to some shepherds. And he was in a manger. That's the way God does stuff, though. That's the way he rolls. He does not force himself on people. He does not push his way in. He's not doing it today, and we shouldn't either. As his representatives, we're his ambassadors. You know, some people claim I'm an ambassador of God, and they want to shove their way into everybody's life. God himself doesn't do that. He shows up, and he says, "This is what I did for you. Take it or leave it, but I love you." He is so awesome. I mean, so. People talk about awesomeness now. You know, this is awesomeness, full of awesome. God is awesome. Let me tell you. He is incredible. If Jesus was one calm, cool, and collected dude when he walked around, nothing could shake him. They tried to kill him. He just walked right through the crowd. It could not take his life. They're going to push him off a cliff. Yeah, right. He just goes right through them. People, you know, when they challenge him, well, we got him now. I can't imagine looking into his eyes. Just look at you. Look right through you. And then just something comes out of his mouth that just floors everybody. Because if you imagine what it would have been like to walk with the king, God himself, he looks like a man. I've read descriptions. Have you read that there's historical descriptions about them? They just said there was something about him. These historians that would write about him at that time, it was just something that he was above everyone. The way he talked, the way he held himself, the way he carried himself with the tone he talked, it was just divine. They said people that weren't Christians, they just said there was something different about this man. He was a head and shoulders above everybody. He was never rattled. He was God with us. The king that he walks with us. I mean, he's right next to me. He looks like a man, but you look into his eyes, you know he's not a man. There's something different about this guy. Well, that's Jesus. He came to redeem us. He is incredible. He has every answer to every problem. You think about it, the one that created everything is standing in the midst of men. Our Jesus. And he has the answer. And he has the answer for everything today. He has every answer. He knows it all. But he came. The whole reason he came. And what we celebrate is so that he could redeem men back to him. That one that came. Didn't announce himself. Didn't announce it in spectacular manner. But he came to carry everybody on his shoulders. And to redeem everybody. And to bring us all back to relationship with him. That's the whole reason. But he doesn't force himself. He said, "This is what I did. I did it for you. I love you." Just like Shelley was saying, you know, in that song this morning, to personalize it. He did that for me. I was punished. On that tree, on that cross, I was punished. And this baby that we talk about at Christmas time came to do that. The Savior, Messiah, Emmanuel. Thank God. Back in Genesis 3, this is where it all started, when Adam fell. Adam and Eve chose to go away from God, chose not to believe. This is what God said. Let's read verse 13. Well, actually, I'll read a little bit. This is very familiar. But this is after Adam and Eve sinned. And God's coming in the garden in verse 9. It says, "Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?'" This is before what's on your scripture sheet, but I'll read a little bit. Because Adam's hiding himself. "So he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid.'" This is Adam. "I was afraid because I was naked. I hid myself.' And God said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?' Then the man said, 'The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate.' And the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me and I ate.' So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field. And on your belly you should go, and you shall eat dust and all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said, 'I will greatly multiply your sorrow and conception, and pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. But 3:15 says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. That's the New International Version that you have on your sheet. But God is prophesying, said, this is not over. The son of the... He's saying what's going to happen. God, Jesus is going to come to crush the head of Satan. And that's what's happened. When Jesus was born in that manger, God himself showed up on the scene after all that time and said, I'm here. Of course, he was a baby at that point, but he grew in wisdom and stature and became to know what he was going to do. Isaiah 7:14, this is a prophecy. These are one of the many things that came forth that men spoke so that Jesus could be born into the earth. In verse 14, Isaiah 7:14, it says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. This is many years before that happened. This is a prophecy. I read in a book, let me see if I can get this straight, there's like 300 and some odd prophecies or whatever that have been fulfilled. Don't hold me to all the numbers. I read this, but it's in that neighborhood, that have been fulfilled, that were prophesied throughout the Bible, that have come to pass. And if you took the chances of 8 of those concerning Jesus, prophecies concerning Jesus, I think it was, and if you took 8 of those, now this part I know, if you took 8 of those, the chance of 8 of those being fulfilled in one person, the odds of that happening would be like you taking silver dollars, filling the state of Texas with silver dollars 2 feet deep, and painting one of them red. The state of Texas 2 feet deep with silver dollars. And you walk into Texas somewhere, not knowing where the red one is. There's one in the state of Texas, 2 feet deep, silver dollars. You walking somewhere in the state of Texas, bending over and picking the red one up. For 8 of those prophecies to be fulfilled in Jesus, that's the odds, let alone all of them. For all the things that happened to him and the way he died, the way he came to earth, all these things happening. These things happen years and years before he ever came to earth. And they were said, this is what will happen. This is what will happen. And then Jesus Christ came and walked, and all these things happened in his life. You know, for the odds of that happening, if you want to say it's a storybook, people say, oh, it's a story, it's all made up. The odds of that happening are incredible. Incredible. And if you want to talk about scientific, I mean, in fact, the odds of that coming to pass are ridiculous. It's just a chance. No, it's not just a chance. This is one of those. So, you know, it was prophesied before he ever came that he would be born of a virgin. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. So then back over in Luke. Emmanuel, which is God with us. He is with us. God is with us. He didn't leave. Jesus showed up, and that was God manifest in the flesh, but he is still with us. Luke 2, verse 10. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. I'll read a couple scriptures that aren't on your sheet there. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. But that day, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." God with us came to redeem everyone, to redeem all people. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Jesus Christ came. He showed up on earth as Emmanuel, God with us. And that was to all people, to everyone. Excuse me. To come and do what it spoke back in Genesis, all throughout those years, all throughout the prophecies that came forth through him, he showed up finally to do what was prophesied back in Genesis, that he was going to crush the head of the enemy. And that's what he did. In his death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus, when he finally went to the cross, he came to disarm the devil, to crush his head. Let's go over to Colossians 2:15. This is what Jesus did. Having disarmed principalities, Colossians 2, verse 15, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. That's what he did. He disarmed principalities and powers. He disarmed Satan. He made a spectacle over him. The God, the King of the universe, came back what Adam had lost and Adam had given up. Because he didn't obey God, because he decided to go away from him, he sent Jesus to come to be God with us, to come back and to take back everything that mankind lost back in the fall. And Jesus came, that man came, and he completely triumphed over darkness. He triumphed over Satan. He disarmed principalities and powers, made a public spectacle, triumphing over them in it. He just made a complete spectacle of the enemy, because he is the king. And because of that, we can go to him, because of what he did. We can look on him. People can believe on him, like we read in John 3:16. The whole world can look back on him and say, because of what you did, because you died for me, because you came, because you were born in a manger, came, were crucified, buried, resurrected, the world can live again. The world can believe again. The world can live and live with God with us. God can live, we can live again through him. And he's with us today. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Praise God. He is so good. He is so good. Everything, anything that we could possibly face, he's already taken care of it. He's already taken care of it. He's already made a way to deal with it. Thank God. I want to read one script. Let's go. I just want to read Acts to you. Acts 10. It's on your sheet. Acts 10, verse 36. What does it say there? It says that the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. I say, well, I thought he was God. He was God, but he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. He was God, but he laid down the powers of being God Almighty to come into the form of a man. He's 100% God, he's 100% man, but he laid down the power he had, and he had to be anointed by the Holy Spirit the same way you and I would. So God was with him. He was with us, but God was with him. And because of that, he went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That's what Jesus came. He went around and showed men who he was and gave witness to the fact that God, that he was God. That's what he did. He gave witness to the fact that I am who I said I am. And he went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, doing miracles, doing things, setting men free. And it's the same thing today. When we celebrate Christmas, when we celebrate him coming in, we are celebrating the fact that God himself came to earth, came to dwell on earth. And because of that, through him, we can have a relationship with him, but then he is with us. And as we walk around on this earth, we are walking as representatives with him. And just like God was with Jesus, even though Jesus was God, God was with him to enable him to walk. That's the way God is with us. And as we walk as Christians, we walk with the same power of God that Jesus walked with. Now, he was God. But just like we just read, he went about doing good because God was with him. It didn't say because he was God, it's because God was with him. And the good news is then God is with us. And if God's with us and working through us, then we can still shine the same type of light that he did. And I wasn't, you know, prior I wasn't going to go this direction, but I just, you know, last night was just going to, just felt impressed to go a little bit over here. I know it's Christmas, but still, we just want to go with wherever. God came to set men free in every area. He came, he anointed Jesus to do the works that he did. And we as Christians do the same thing. That's how we witness to the fact that he is who he said he is. That Jesus is. Because people can reason all they want. Like we were talking about at the beginning. Well, is this true or is this true? What's the history of that? But they cannot reason away the power of God. Nobody can argue with it. The supernatural, and men are looking for it. It's such a contradiction that men are so more into the things, spiritual things now, yet they deny it even exists. Have you noticed? I'm sure you have. You've been how much there is in public culture, in the pop culture right now, about demonic things, about magic, about psychic, about all that stuff. Yet it is arisen so much, but it's like people look at it as like a hobby, like a fairy tale. They at the same time completely, if you ask anybody, they'd be like, oh, that's not true. That's not real. But it's so prevalent. But it's almost like prevalent while being a fantasy. That's what everybody thinks. But it's so prevalent, and people don't realize what they're really seeking is the supernatural, is freedom, is a power that men were created to have. Men are created to have dominion, and they were stripped of that because they followed the devil. And so they know they should not be living where they are. They know they're living under... Everybody knows that intuitively. Things should not be the way they are. People know that the way their life is going, or that sickness dominates them, or that, you know, things in their mind or whatever, this should not be it, but they don't know what to do because they're bound. So they look for all this stuff. They look at these stories where people have superpowers or people have magic or whatever, and they're like, wouldn't that be nice? And what they don't realize is that those things in a way are describing what is real. That is the way the world really is. There is a spiritual. There are demons. There is magic. But there is a supernatural power on our side, on God's side. And it's real. And Jesus came. How was Jesus born of a virgin? By the power of the living God. How did Jesus go about healing all that were oppressed of the devil? through the power of God. And we as Christians have that same power inside of us. We have access to that. And people can argue all they want with, is this true or is this true, a historical fact. But people, when somebody gets raised from the dead or somebody's healed and they see that, or their bodies are touched, you cannot argue with that. People say, oh, that's just something different. And that's what we're supposed to, that's what we want to walk in and manifest. And God's made it completely accessible through Jesus. And it's nothing we have to build up. It's nothing we have to be so spiritual. No, it's all in Him. And that's the simple thing. See, we've made it a formula. Faith is great. The fact is, anything we receive from God is through faith. But we've made it a formula. We tap into it a little bit and people say, okay, so this is the way you tap into God. If you do this and this, this will work. And all it is really, is just Jesus. It's just believing that He did it all. That's faith. If I believe that He's done it and that if I act on it, it'll work, that's faith. But when we say, why didn't this work for somebody? Or we say, well, it's not working in my life. Look at what all I'm doing. We just betrayed the thought pattern that is hindering us, is because we think who we are should have something to do with it, when the fact is, anybody off the street that will believe what Jesus has done have access to it. That religion does not like that, because that takes it all off of me. It doesn't matter who I, it doesn't matter if I'm a pastor. It doesn't matter if I'm a millionaire. It doesn't matter the color of my skin. It doesn't matter. And none of those things matter. All that matters is, do I believe in Jesus and take what He's taken or what He's given me? That's it. That's it. I just want to read you a scripture here. Mark 16, verse 15. Mark 16, verse 15. This is the great, this is Jesus speaking. We'll read 14. It says, later He appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen Him after He had risen. And He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Now notice this. Notice what He said. Jesus came. We've been talking about God with us, Emmanuel. Now notice what it says should follow those who believe. And these signs will follow those who believe. In My name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. It says that'll happen. Period. Does it say anything about you? Does it say anything about your family background or how much money you have? All it says is, if you believe, we'll follow those who believe. If you believe Him, if you believe that it was Jesus, that all everything we're talking about, that He came back in Genesis, what we were talking about, when that God said, He will crush your head. He will crush Satan's head. Satan's the author of all this stuff that's junk in the world. That's when we celebrate Christmas. We're looking at the fact that all that He appeared to come back and do everything He did. That He took all the power that Satan had to keep us under all this junk that's in the world, the sickness, the disease, the depression, everything has stemmed from the fact that people went away from God, and Jesus came, walked this earth to say, it doesn't have to be like that. I'm taking them back. I have paid the price to put us back into right relationship with God. And He Himself said that here He said, notice what he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and baptizes will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow. They will. They will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. See, demons are still around. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. We don't have to be scared of doing the wrong thing. We're covered by the blood of Jesus. He said that. And what does it say? They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And how did this verse start here? He said, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. What does that mean? Because of him. It's like if I gave you my checkbook and you could write checks. I'm saying you have the ability to write whatever you need to write. In my name. You sign it, Jim Preston. $100 to Best Buy, you know, $50 to Walmart. In Jim's name, you sign it. Jesus gave us his name, his authority, his power. When he came to earth, this was his goal, not to be, you know, set up nativity scenes for the time to come so it all looks pretty, but to redeem us so that we could walk with him. So notice it says, in my name, that precedes all these things. In my name, they will cast out demons. In my name, they will speak with new tongues. In my name, they will take up serpents. In my name, they will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. God himself spoke that on this earth. That we walk in that. That we walk in that. In his name. That we have been put back to where we dominate in this earth. That it does not dominate us anymore. The world cannot argue with it. They can't argue with that. We can talk about happy holidays, Merry Christmas, all this junk. You know what? All that doesn't really mean anything when you get down to it. It's our lives and how we... I'm not saying I agree with the things that are going on, but bottom line is when we get sidetracked on all these arguments, it's usually because if we're just walking out what the church was ordained to walk out, people can't argue with that. They can say whatever they want and argue and say, well, you shouldn't do that, but the power of God and the supernatural, because God's with us. God's in our midst. God is in us. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just take a minute because we just want to follow God. It's Christmas. I know it's a different service, but we want to follow the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we're so thankful for everything you did. Everything you did for us, Lord God, it says in the Bible that you went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Who were oppressed of the devil. Who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with you. And you are with us today. And Lord, you said yourself not only to go and tell everybody about what you have done, but you said that signs will back us up. When we go, not because of us, not because we're so holy, but because we just act on what you said. And because we just believe that it's you and that you paid for us. And if we believe and use your signature, your name, your authority, your power, and we just operate in it, Lord, it's ours. That's what you said. Hallelujah. Oh God, we're so thankful. We're so thankful. Thank you, God. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, God. Thank God. Thank you, God. I just want to show you one more thing. Go ahead and open your eyes. I want to show you one more thing. Praise God. It's on your scripture sheet in Acts. I didn't know if we'd go this way, but so I put scriptures on there. But we're just going to go over here. I just want to show you one example of what we're talking about. Acts 3, verse 1. It said, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb." The man has always been a cripple. Always. "Was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.'" This man has never walked. Never. "And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength." That's impossible, people would say, but it happened. And it will happen. And it is happening on the earth today. "So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God." See, that didn't stop. That's what happens. That's what we're to go out and do. That's what Jesus said. "You'll lay hands on the sick in my name. They'll be fine. They'll be whole. They'll be well." Thank you, Lord. Praise God. And God's not changed. And it's just a matter of acting on Him, acting on His Word. Thank you, God. Praise God. And God does that today.